You know, speaking of which, I mean, that's one of, like, the big things that stands out from, like, your past couple of records is that you have, like, those arrangements with, like, the, you've got, like, the horn section will, like, pop up every once in a while. I mean, whose idea was that to like, you know, start experimenting with that sound?
I don't know. it's something I guess we talked about. You know, we're big fans of, like, the Saints, who had horns as soon as they could afford to on their second record. You know, that mid-period of the Stones, where they have, like, a lot of horns in there. I guess it's not even the mid-period anymore. I guess that could be called, like, the second early phase of the Stones at this point. And, you know, of course, like, the sax on the Stooges is a huge thing. There's nothing quite like, or like, the MC5 had some horns on their last record on High Time. And you could say that the outro, the horn outro on Blind Spots is sort of an homage to some of the stuff that's going on that record.
Okay. Yeah, I was going to ask if those influences were, you know, kind of pronounced, or was it, you know, that calculated? Was it just a matter of, like, you know, someone just thought horns would sound cool?
No, it was, for the most part, it was like horns would sound cool.
Okay.
You know, and we worked with Craig Florey a couple of years back in a Sonics cover band, tribute band for the EMP. We got together for, like, to represent the Sonics, who refused to represent themselves.
Yeah, those guys, they're laying low.
Yeah, they're a great band, and they're very important to our history, you know. They're very influential to us, you know, from the guitar playing to the drumming to the, you know, the screaming vocal styles of Jerry Rosley. They had a sax, so we had Craig Florey play with us in the band as a sax player. And I've known Craig since I was four, basically. Like, the neighborhood my parents moved into, like, up by Totem Lake when I was four. You know, I lived, like, a half a block away from him. I think he was about six or something at the time. And I used to go over to his house to hang out with his little sister, who was my age. And, you know, I remember at a very early age, he was, like, playing clarinet and stuff. So that, you know, at this point, the guy's got, you know, music just, like, flowing through his system. I'd run into him periodically over the years, but I didn't really see him that much. And then we did the Sonics thing with him. It was like, oh, now we know somebody who plays a horn and knows other horn players, and he could probably come up with arrangements for our, you know, records if we wanted to do that. And so we used him on the previous record on Since We've Become Translucent. And this time around, I mean, we only brought him in, like, for, like, the last session of that record. And this time around, as we were coming up with stuff, I was sending him, like, four tracks of what we'd been recording, in the four track sort of demo versions of the songs as we've been writing them. And, you know, hey, if there's anything you want to, you think you can come up with whatever song, you know, there's very little direction. In terms of telling him what to do. And, you know, he came up with some amazing